The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
The portion of Bamidbar begins the fourth of the five books of Moses. In Hebrew, the word Bamidbar is in the desert, because it's relating this way the first verse of the book begins. Always the name of either a portion or a whole book is based upon the central word of the first verse. So the central word is Bamidbar. Nonetheless, in English, and even in the terminology of Chazal, the book is called Numbers, because the first topic is to enumerate and actually to count that Moses was commanded by God to count, to make a census of the Jewish people. So it begins with numbering the souls. And that's why the book is called, in Hebrew the term is Chumash HaPekudim. And that's why the reason it's translated in English to the Book of Numbers, even though the essential name is Bamidbar, and also the first portion of every one of the five books is itself the same name as the book itself, like the first book of the Torah is Bereshit, and the first portion of Bereshit itself is called Bereshit, and so forth. So here also the whole book is called Bamidbar in the desert, and the first portion is also called Bamidbar. Now, in the beginning of the fourth individual portion within the, you know that every sidra and every parasha is divided into seven smaller portions. The fourth one of the seven divisions of this parasha of Bamidbar begins with speaking of the children, the toladot of Moses and Aharon. Up until now, the census had been taken of all of the Jewish souls, and now what remains is to count and relate the children of the two leaders of the generation, who are Moses and Aaron. Now, even though the verse begins that these are the generations of Aaron and Moses, in the day that Hashem spoke to Moses, so it just continues to state, to count the children of Aaron. It doesn't mention anything about the physical children of Moses. Moses also had children. The Torah itself has told us before in the book of Exodus the names of the two sons of Moses. The first is Gershom and the second is Eliezer. So since it begins that these are the children of Aaron and Moses, I would expect that after mentioning the names of the children of Aaron, so it would also mention the names of the children of Moses. But no, it doesn't at all afterwards mention the children of Moses, as though for our purposes here they're non-existent. And it suffices just with enumerating the children of Aharon. And Aaron had four sons that are all enumerated here. The first two were died because they brought a burnt offering to the tabernacle that they were not commanded to bring. Their punishment was that actually fire entered into their nostrils and burnt them alive. And the second two that remained alive after Nadav Avihu passed away, so then remained another two that are Elazar and Itamar, and they continued to serve. And was Elazar, the oldest of the two, was the high priest after Aharon. And in the following generations also Itamar, there were times that Itamar and his children were the high priests. In any event, the only names that are recorded here are the names of the children of Aaron. So the question is, the obvious question is what we said before, what about Moses? Why does it say that these are the children of Moses as well? So Chazal, our sages, learned from this a very important principle that is so closely related to the literal meaning of the verses, because otherwise there's this very obvious question that Rashi himself, Parshat, the most important commentary on the Torah, and his commentary is called Pshuto Shemikra, it's a literal commentary, and he also says that his commentary is intended to explain to children, to children at the age of 5, that they begin to learn Torah, it's called Ben Chamesh Mikra, to explain to them the meaning of the verses. And he quotes here the saying of Chazal, that from here, from the fact that Moses' children are not mentioned, and only Aaron's children are mentioned, nonetheless it says that these are the children of both Aaron and Moses, we learn the principle that whoever teaches the son of his friend, his friend's son, Torah, is considered as though he is his father. So there's one very important teaching and actually meditation that we can have in mind this week of Parashat Bamidbar, that this is the week to come to the realization that teaching another Jew is actually giving birth to him. As though that if I really teach you, you become my son. Or if you teach me, you are my father and I am your son. So in Hasidut, this demands a little bit more explanation, because it said that there's a very big difference between the physical drop of semen from the father that gives birth to a child and the spiritual flow of knowledge and insight that a teacher gives to a student. It's not the same at all. And actually it says that even though the spiritual insights and teachings that of a mentor to a disciple is a very, very great light, because you're teaching the light of the Torah, but the light is not essence. And the seed, which is physical, it's not a revealed light, but the seed transforms or transmits essence. Essence is atzmut ha-mahut. And that's why the child that is born from the seed is a child of the father. But they're called at a certain level of existence, the very same essence. Whereas a teacher and a pupil, even though the teacher is giving his pupil great light, but light is not essence. It's called the difference between giluyim, revelations of light, versus atzmut. So that being the case, and this is a very great topic that's explained in the Kabbalah and Hasidut, so now the question is even the stronger. It's the question actually on the interpretation of the sages as brought in the literal commentary of Rashi. How can one say that if you teach your friend's son Torah, you become considered actually his father, to the extent that the Torah says, the Torah is 100% truth, absolute truth, and it says that these children are the children of Moses, even though they're just physically, they're just the biological father is only Aaron and not Moses. So this is also treated and explained in depth in Hasidut. It says that Moses is a special type of teacher. He's not a normal teacher. A normal teacher, really, the student is not 100% your son, the son of the teacher. Because as we just said, the student is only revealing, is only receiving lights, insights from the teacher. But he's not receiving the essence of the seed, of the very being of the teacher. But Moses, when he teaches, or any Rebbe, a true Rebbe, is a manifestation in every generation of Moses, and a true Rebbe is so devoted to the teaching of the Torah that the Torah is not just lights and insights, that he has insights that he conveys and transmits to you, but in his teaching of Torah he's actually impregnating your soul with his very essence and giving birth to you yourself. there's an act of union, just like sexual union between the Rebbe and the true student of the Rebbe. That's why we're even talking Chassidut, that the whole parable of the Song of Songs, which is a parable of the marriage of God to Knesset Yisrael, that applies to the relationship of a true Rebbe like Moshe Rabbeinu and a true disciple. So on the one hand, it's as though the Rebbe and the disciple are actually a mate. But because they're a mate, the disciple is actually reborn anew. So in that case, the disciple is really a son in a certain respect, more a son even than his son of his true Rebbe, than even the biological father. So this is the basic teaching that we're trying to meditate upon this week, that it says that every Jew has a spark of Moses, even though we say that a normal teacher doesn't have this power to actually give birth to newly bear his student. But since each of us does possess a spark of Moses, as explained in the Tanya, so it means that we can all aspire to this level. Each one is called Kol Chata Lefun Shiru today, each one of us in his own way, to the extent of his ability, that in our teaching and speaking Torah with one another, to give ourselves over 100%. So sometimes you just have some interesting thought that you're conveying, that you're sharing with another person. I just saw something interesting in the Torah, just like a person would say, I saw something interesting in the newspaper, I want you to also to share my knowledge with you. So that type of teaching does not give birth to the other person. But there is a type of teaching that once, but even though this is about Moses, it said, but every one of us can do this, and that's why it's written in the Torah and written in Rashi, in order to teach each and every one of us, that if we are like Moses, that we are 100% devoted to the Torah, and our lives are one and the same, and that my purpose here is whatever God Hashem has given me, Torah, it's for the sake of conveying that very essence to you. And if I'm the pupil to say the same thing, that my very purpose on earth right now is to receive in full the essence of my teacher, that's called a Rebbe Muvhak, then even there are many, many laws that the sages teach us, that our true Rebbe and a true Rebbe and Talmid and pupil relationship is stronger, and actually is more obliges the student in all types of honor of who to respect more, and who to save first, and who to return his any lost item first. That there's priority that's given to the true teacher, which is like Moses, even more than the father. The father can also be a very great person, and he's a very good father. Nonetheless, the teacher comes first. But what type of a teacher is that? Only this type of teacher that we're not talking about, that is like Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning that, once more to summarize the meditation, that the very, very first commandment that man is given on earth is to be fruitful and multiply. There are many different readings of that first all-inclusive commandment, which in the terminology of the sages is called the great commandment of the Torah, Mitzvah Rabbah, be fruitful and multiply. One reading in Kabbalah is that when a person himself, through deep study of the Torah, merits to new flashes of insight, of true chidushim, true new revelation of the Torah, that's called being fruitful and multiplying in his mind, in the holy essence of his mind. The second reading is actually the one that pertains most to our meditation now, is to be fruitful and multiply. The first Rebbe of Chabad, the author of the Tanya, the Bava Tanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of the Adi, said that be fruitful and multiply, the first all-inclusive command of the Torah, means, in Yiddish he said it, Ayid Darf Macha Nochayid. Every Jew has to make another Jew. Which doesn't mean that necessarily biologically giving birth to another person, but so devoting yourself to teach other people that you're rectifying, you're creating a new soul. It's even a very famous image that we're taught in Hasidut, that the sign of a truth, the greatest wonder. Some people think that rabbis are for miracles, for wonders. But he says that the true wonder of a rabbi is that he can take a person who is relatively, before he came to the rabbi, a bull etz, means like a piece of a lab of wood, and convert him into a human being. Is that the relationship of the pupil before he came to the Rebbe and after he came to the Rebbe is just he's created anew. That's the sign of a real Rebbe. That's the true revu of a Jew making another Jew. Then obviously there's the physical, and Mikra Yasimide Pshuto, every verse has its literal meaning, that Pur Revu means to actually have physical children. But Pur Revu, be fruitful, multiply, has all these three levels. And the one that we're taught especially in this week's portion is the ability to be fruitful and multiply in our interpersonal relationships with other people, knowing that the reason that God has brought us together is not just to share nice things that we've learned, but to actually impregnate the other soul with things that for us are so essential. That I'm conveying that knowledge as actual seed, procreative seed. And then we together, sometimes today I can be the father and you the mother, and then tomorrow it can reverse itself, the father and I'm the mother. No matter how it is, we're giving birth to reburying ourselves and then being able to multiply more and more and more. As the verse says, that the ultimate purpose is to fill the whole earth with Hashem, meaning fill the whole earth with the Torah, because the Torah is the revelation of Hashem in the world.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginsburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galina means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginsburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galianite team and participate with Rabbi Ginsburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galianite team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galianite team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. Or email us at inner@inner.org.